Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Congressman Gerald Nadler of Brooklyn and Manhattan is here now, a prominent member of the House Judiciary Committee. He is keeping his eye on some of President Bush's lame duck activities, including possible pardons and regulations. He's also said to be among those interested in the Senate seat being vacated by Hillary Clinton. Hi, Congressman Nadler. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning.
Let me jump right into the gigantic Obama stimulus bill that he outlined yesterday. The front page of the Times this morning says Senate Democrats are complaining that the plan isn't bold enough on job creation or the energy infrastructure and relies too much on tax cuts. Is that your position, too?
Yes, it is. I have two problems with the plan. I think passing this plan or some version of it is absolutely essential for the economy if we're not going to go into a 1930s depression, which is where we're headed right now. But I don't think it's big enough. I don't think there's enough aggregate demand created by this plan to make up for the aggregate demand being lost and propelling us toward a depression. And I think it's probably only about half as big as it should be. In addition to that, there are three types of tax cuts in it. One type, which is the $500 and $1,000 rebate to individuals, is stimulative. That will put money into the economy that will circulate, and that makes sense. But the two business tax cuts I don't think make sense at all, and that wastes a couple $100 billion, which I'd rather see going into either infrastructure or into additional aid to the state so that they don't lay off workers and cut spending, which is, again, against stimulating the economy. Now, those two business tax cuts are, one, to enable companies to go back, I think, up to 5 years and count losses against future income for taxes. And that may be very nice for the companies, especially for a company like Citicorp, but it doesn't do anything. It doesn't create additional demand in the economy. And secondly, this idea that you're going to give a company $3,000 for each job it creates or each job it doesn't lay off, that's not going to get them to create jobs. Nobody's going to hire someone for $30,000 or $40,000 a year because they get a $3,000 tax break if they don't think that their products are going to sell. The problem is not a lack of investment capital. The problem is a lack of demand. Nobody's going to hire people in order to create more products for which there are no customers.
One of the things you just said is that the stimulus package is only half as big as it should be. The number I've been seeing is roughly $775 billion. Are you saying this should be $1.5 trillion?
No, I think it should probably be at $1 to $1.2 trillion. But I'm saying the stimulative effect is probably about half. But a lot of that tax cut, those two business tax cuts, are a waste of money from a stimulus point of view, I think. So that doesn't count toward it.
What would you like to be see him be doing more of, specifically?
Well, there are three things this bill does, aside from the tax cuts. All three of them could be more. One, it gives people additional money for, you know, extended unemployment insurance and other direct transfers of money to low-income people, which is a very effective way of stimulating the economy because the low-income people will spend every penny they get because they have no choice. Second of all, it's investments in roads, highways, bridges, mass transit, broadband, and other things where you're putting people to work, creating things, and you're getting value for what you know, that'll help the economy be competitive later. And third, giving money to the states in the form of Medicaid, a bigger Medicaid share or other ways to prevent the states from having to cut their budgets, because if the state cuts the budget by $1, that offsets a dollar of stimulus to the economy. So you don't want the states to be cutting their spending at this point. So any of those three things or all those three things should be increased.
Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell was on Morning Edition today, and he had a whole different set of concerns. He wants to make sure that any new spending programs are temporary, not built permanently into the structure of government. He is concerned about the deficit. He is concerned about spending that might be seen as kind of welfare to people who aren't paying taxes, credits.
Let's go through them one by one because I'm not going to remember all of these if you just keep listening. What was the first one?
Well, his biggest one was having to do with making these things temporary. So if he makes changes, for example, to the S-CHIP program, the health care program for lower-income children, I don't think the Republicans want that to be a permanent change. They want temporary stimulus measures that can be undone.
First of all, most of the good parts of this program are temporary. The things that aren't temporary are the tax cuts. And the business tax cuts, I don't think that they're stimulative at all, and they shouldn't be there. They certainly should be temporary, if they're there at all. S-CHIP, we know that Republicans, by and large, don't like S-CHIP, so they don't want to do it at all, so they don't want to. But I see no reason why that shouldn't be permanent in any event. But most of the great bulk, the aid to the states, the infrastructure expenditure, and the extended unemployment insurance, those kinds of things are, in fact, temporary. That's the great bulk of the bill.
So do you think if this bill, I don't know that it's written yet, but in roughly the form that the president-elect laid it out in his speech yesterday, actually came up for a vote, that Democrats would vote against it because of your concerns
I would. I would certainly. No. My concern is that it's not big enough, that it won't do enough, but it certainly is a lot better than nothing. My concern is that it'll slow our descent into depression but won't stop it. But if you have to have a slower collapse, I'd rather have a slower collapse, and then you have time to take more action later.
I see you've got your eye on some of President Bush's last-minute regulatory changes, and my guest, if you're just joining us, is Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat from Brooklyn and Manhattan. What's got you concerned that President Bush is doing?
Well, he is doing a myriad of last-minute executive orders, which can be overturned by the new president's executive orders. But more to the point, he's doing a myriad of regulations that take a year or two to go through the process. Everything from locking in anti-environmental things to locking in provisions that you can't get advice on reproductive health care or abortion or services if the clerk at the pharmacy doesn't want to give it to you, all sorts of things. And my concern is not only with the substance of many of the things he's doing, but the fact is that his mandate is running out. He shouldn't be able to tie the hands of the next administration for a year or two or three, which is what the current system is. So I've introduced legislation to say that any regulation that takes final effect in the last 90 days of an administration does not go into effect until approved by the relevant cabinet secretary in the new administration.
Can Congress do anything about pardons? You're warning the president against preemptive pardons of his own administration officials. What are you afraid specifically that he might do?
Well, I'm afraid that he might issue pardons that says that anyone who engaged, who committed crimes with regard to national security, with regard to torture, with regard to warrantless wiretapping, between September 11th, 2001, and January 19th, 2009, is hereby pardoned. In other words, and just kill all investigations, kill all opportunity to bring to see if there were in fact crimes committed, and to punish them if there were. That's not the purpose of a pardon. The purpose of a pardon is to temper justice with mercy, not to allow an administration to violate the law with impunity and then pardon its own members so that you can get away with it.
Congress can't prevent that in any way. You can just speak out, right?
Well, that's right. Now, this is intended as a shot across the bow. We cannot prevent it. I am going to introduce, this wouldn't affect now, but it will affect the future. I'm going to introduce a constitutional amendment. I'm the chairman of the subcommittee that has charge of constitutional amendments, among other things, to limit the president's pardon power in the future to, among other things, to say that a president cannot pardon a member of his own administration for crimes committed in his official capacity.
You've always been a strong supporter of Israel, turning to another topic. Are they going too far, in your opinion, in the war on Gaza?
I don't believe so. Now, there may have been individual cases of lack of discipline or errant shells or whatever, but I think they've made a great effort to limit civilian casualties, which is very difficult when Hamas makes a practice of launching rockets and fighting from within civilian areas and from within schools and so forth, and surrounding themselves with civilians to try to give themselves impunity. And I think that any country in the world that is subjected to the kind of rocket attacks that Israel was would have to take action. If rockets were being launched against Syracuse and Buffalo, buffalo from Canada. We'd tell Canada to stop it.
So,
if they said they couldn't or they wouldn't, we'd take action.
So you think the U.S. should do nothing to pressure Israel to agree to a ceasefire at this time
I think the United States should be pressing all parties for a ceasefire, provided that that ceasefire takes care of the underlying problem, which is to say that there'll be no more rocket fire and that the smuggling of more and more advanced weapons into Gaza, more and more long-range rockets, stops, because otherwise a ceasefire is just a preparation for a deadlier war a couple of months down the line.
Last thing, I hear you're interested in Hillary Clinton's Senate seat. Have you filled out one of those questionnaires for Governor Patterson?
Yes, I filled out one of those questionnaires.
Let's see. One of the questions was if you had any money with Madoff or any other investment with an entity under federal investigation. Were you able to answer no to that question?
Well, sort of. Certainly not with Madoff and not with anybody. Well, with an investigation, as far as I know. I have a normal mortgage with, Chase Citicorp. I've got a bank account with Chase. And one of the questions was, have you any business dealings with anybody who may have gotten federal help? So I'm not sure which banks have gotten federal help, so I put down the mortgage and the bank account.
All right. Congressman Gerald Nadler, and who knows, next time he's on, he may be Senator Gerald Nadler. Thanks a lot for coming on,
as always. It's a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, the effects of the recession on the theater. Stay tuned.